Hey, this is Matt Rosenberg, and you're listening to The Night Nerd.
Welcome to The Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Friday, so we're going to talk about what you want to talk about. All week, we've been celebrating Leonardo da Vinci. His appearances, his works, his life, everything. He's incredibly talented and incredibly timeless, really. You know, we looked at comics and movies and video games and TV shows and all of this stuff that featured him, and it was all really cool. And his timelessness can be contributed to a lot of things, but in the modern world, where we are now, a lot of it is on the Mona Lisa, and that hasn't always been the case. So I thought we'd spend today talking about the Mona Lisa, arguably his most famous work. So the Mona Lisa, if you don't know, was painted probably between 1503 and 1517. It's oil on poplar panel, and it's actually pretty small. It's 30 inches by 21 inches, so was that like 2.5 feet by just under 2 feet? Really, really small. But, well, before we get to how it became famous, we'll look a little bit more at its history. And it was commissioned by a few different people, possibly, maybe. That's the thing. We don't know a whole lot about it. But even the title, Mona Lisa. So Mona is a way of Madonna, which would ultimately become Madonna, which is what we call ma'am or m'lady or madam or something. And the shortened version is Mona. So that was showing that it was a painting of somebody, you know, maybe fairly important and stuff. What I did learn that I had never known is there's some spellings of it where it's M-O-N-N-A, because M-O-N-A is a curse word in some regions of Italy and some of their different dialects and stuff. So I think that's kind of funny, actually. And then Lisa was probably maybe kind of her name. There's been all sorts of speculation about it, and even stuff as to who the actual model was. So a lot of people assume that Lisa del Giocondo was the model, and that's where we get the Lisa from, you know, Milady Lisa. But there's been other ones that have said it could have been a number of people. It could have been Isabella of Aragon, Cecilia Gallerani, sorry, I'm probably butchering all the names, Costanza d'Avalos, Duchess of Francavilla, Isabel d'Este, Caterina Sforza, or even Leonardo himself, or Salea, who we talked about a lot on Wednesday show, his apprentice guy. So even though it's probably a painting of Lisa del Giocondo, it may not be necessarily based on her entirely in the picture. And so it was commissioned for him back in the day, and even when he was working on it, as far back as 1504, Raphael, the Ninja Turtle with the red band, did a sketch that it hangs up in the Louvre, where it's the Mona Lisa with columns on either side. And this picture alone has drawn a lot of controversy. So we knew that Leonardo and Raphael studied together, worked together, did a lot of things together. And this picture that he drew, the background is different. And that's led a lot of people to believe, or at least to think, that there are other Mona Lisas out there. And there's been some pop-up that may have been drawn by Leonardo, and some that were probably drawn by Salea and other people and stuff, just who were watching him paint and were like, dude, that's really nice. Wow, I kind of want to copy that. And over history, you know, it's always been prominent in art circles. I mean, at one time, it hung up in the bedroom of Napoleon Bonaparte, who, you know, was a big French guy and, well, not big, but you know what I mean. And it's always kind of been passed around. It finally ended up in the Louvre. Now, the thing with it is, like I said, it was always big in private circles, in those art circles and stuff. But in 1911, it was stolen from the Louvre. And they didn't realize it for like a day because it wasn't a big tourist attraction. It wasn't this big thing. Like I said, people in the know appreciated it and realized, hey, this is, you know, a wonderful picture that's been around for 400 years, 500 years, and it's awesome. And the next, after it was stolen, the next day, a painter was like, hey, you're missing something here. And even then, they didn't know if it was maybe being taken somewhere to be photographed or what they were doing. And they started to investigate it. And there's a really cool picture. I'll try and post it for the thumbnail for today's episode on SoundCloud, of the wall where it's missing. And it was not featured anywhere. It wasn't prominent. It was just kind of hanging out, like underneath some other paintings, squeezed in between some stuff. But there's a French poet, Guillaume Apollinaire? I don't know. Lots of words. He was suspected. They arrested him, talked to him, everything like that. And he tried to say it was Picasso, like the Pablo Picasso, who was brought in. And they asked him questions and stuff. And they eventually both were like, all right, cool, you're done. Come to find out, there was a guy who worked at the Louvre called Vincenzo Perigai, who had stolen it. And in the worst heist movie film plot ever, he showed up in regular hours, hid in a broom closet, and then walked out with it under his coat. That's how much people didn't care about the Mona Lisa in 1911. Think about that. You could just walk in, put the Mona Lisa under your jacket, and walk out with it. And it would take people a day or two to notice. Let that sink in. I think that's crazy. So the reason he stole it, and I've actually watched some documentaries about this, and it's really, really fascinating, is this dude was a diehard Italian patriot. Like, whatever their version of America is, that's what he was for Italy. And he was like, hey, Leonardo's an Italian. His stuff should be displayed in Italian museums, and this is what needs to happen. And since it went down, there's been new theories and evidence. I use evidence loosely, that other people kind of put him up to it. That way they could make copies of the Mona Lisa and sell it while it was missing and then return it and everything. But it was gone for 2 years. The Mona Lisa was in this guy's apartment for 2 years. And finally he got bored and tried to sell it to this art gallery. And that's how he got caught. And in true patriotic fashion, dude only served 6 months in prison because everybody in Italy thought he was a hero. They thought, they're like, man, this guy is trying to bring our artwork back to us. And interestingly enough, when it all went down, it brought up all these discussions and debates of, you know, where does artwork belong? Does it belong in the big museums or where it was created or who owns the rights to it and this and this and that? And just really fascinating stuff. If you're a nerd like me and into things like that, it brought on some stuff. But it also gained worldwide attention. You know, everybody was like, oh, this amazing piece of artwork was stolen. Where is it? And people started to care about it. And that's how it became as famous as it was. Now, the downside of that is, with great power comes great responsibility, and it became a target after that. In 1956, somebody threw a rock at it because, later on, somebody tried to, this dude said he was in love with it, so tried to cut it out with a razor blade. They moved it to bulletproof glass, but even like in 1974, a woman threw red paint all over it to protest that the museum didn't have handicap access. 2009, 10 years ago, a Russian woman who was denied French citizenship threw a teacup at it. But it's in this bulletproof glass, which actually has some really cool LED lighting and these things in the bottom of it that help regulate the humidity of it. And it's all just really, really fascinating. So the Mona Lisa is not only one of Leonardo's best works, but one of the best and most important works of history, all thanks to a patriotic Italian who wanted to bring his fellow countrymen's work back to Italy. And I think that's really cool. Let us know, though, what's your favorite Da Vinci artwork? Let us know in the comments below here on SoundCloud or over on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're out there. We're everywhere. And we'd love to hear from you. But otherwise, that's going to do it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you next week.
He's a mathematician and a scientist. Inventor, painter, sculptor, and anatomist. That's Da Vinci. Musician and the writer and the botanist, architect and engineer are also on the list. Da Vinci.